double booked, man.
Yeah, I haven't spent about that hard in so long. I was like,
don't be scared.
Where the fuck your mind go? I'm more interested in that. I don't know.
Y'all can get as close as you feel comfortable with. You can make it less awkward. That's more awkward. That's good. It's gonna be like one of those videos from the 60s where everyone's sitting in a circle and they're all like. What's up?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm from Baltimore. This is my third show here.
Yeah.
Third show. Yeah. Cool. Nice to be back here. Since we heard some lovely music, I'm going to play a song about that. But this is a song I wrote recently, and it's about, it's about, like, your friends doing really significant things for very little, and asking very little for it. Sometimes, at large risk to their own safety or freedom. And I had a few good friends of mine accidentally became like pretty high profile political prisoners in Iran. They were the hikers that you might have heard about, the American hikers. And Shane and Sarah, the two of them are really close friends of mine. And so one of the verses is about Shane, because he's a photojournalist and does pretty absurdly dangerous things because someone needs to do them, and he doesn't do them for some high salary. He does them for put on his Flickr page or on his personal website that he administers. And so it's about that. It's about like music and journalism and stuff like photojournalism and these kinds of things that good people do often without even asking for money for them. It's called What We Can. Traveled 7,000 miles with a backpack and guitar on crowded old buses in the scorching summer sun. For the passion of the politics and the people you perform. For crowds of 13 people on a dusty basement floor. And I love that about you. Traveled 7,000 miles with a backpack and guitar. Gave it 100% no matter where you were. Yeah, this is what we do, my friend. Yeah, this is who we are. We will reach only those we can reach, but we will reach them. We traveled 7,000 miles with a camera in your hand to disrupt the scripted narratives of camouflage command. To expose injustice, to expose the lies we're fed. You captured on a memory card what was pacing through your head. I love that. Performance with a harmonica until this tour in many years. It just seemed like that time of life, you know? This might be the wrong one. No, this is the right one. These harmonicas suck, by the way. But I do recommend buying the you know, $30 7-pack. So you can figure out which one you need. And then maybe you might like a better one. It is this one. Damn it! So unprofessional. Good enough. I was on tour last year in the end of the summer in Europe, and I wrote this in my friend Shireen's van. We were driving across northern France between Brussels and Paris, which is like a 2.5-hour drive, and it took us like 8 hours. Because the map was set to avoid highways and we didn't know how to work it, so we were like, I think it's fine, like we seem to be going towards Paris. And it's funny because when you're on tour, you just assume like, you know, like I'm driving from Brussels to Paris, we'll just stop at the gas station and ask them like how to get to Paris, you know? And then you don't realize that you're like 5 hours from Paris in the middle of the countryside, and it would be like, you know, asking someone in like, you know, western Pennsylvania in the countryside how to get to New York City, maybe like, I don't know, dude. Get on the highway, probably. you know? During that long drive, we had this conversation about what we do, touring and playing music and stuff, and how sometimes it can be, like, really boring to play your songs over and over and over again. But then I was like, yeah, it's boring to play them if it doesn't affect people, but if it affects people in unique ways, it's actually really exciting. And some of life's work is quite repetitive, right? Like, teachers probably know this well, that sometimes you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again, but they're new people, and they're getting something from it. It's actually kind of nice. And so I wrote this song to be like, you better get used to doing repetitive things that are good. Because you're still young, kind of. This is called Over and Over and Over. Write a song that helps to keep you strong. It takes a good idea and helps it move along. I would sing it over and over and over. And if I could write a page that makes you less afraid, it helps to keep your head up and make it through the day. I would write it over and over. Fighting back, they're falling off the wagon and then back. track. I would tell it over and over and over. Cause I could easily grow bitter, counting up the failures. But I would rather find out why they stories. Many years ago, the first time I ever played a show in Southern California, I played a show in Los Angeles at this high school, at a Catholic high school. You know the Catholic anarchist tradition. A young Catholic anarchist smuggled us into his Catholic high school to play this event. And this guy, Roy Bourgeois, ironically, he's the founder of this group called School of the Americas Watch. And, you know, the School of the Americas has since changed their name to the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. And what they do is they train, like, right-wing generals and future dictators and the heads of militias who go around Latin America massacring peasants and left-wing activists and students and union organizers and all of this stuff. And then sometimes taking over countries, like in the case of Manuel Noriega in Panama, who was trained at the School of the Americas, which is in, it's outside of Columbus, Georgia. It's about an hour from Atlanta. On a U.S. military base, the School of the Americas, the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, WISC.
Very clever military.
WISC. But so we're in this Catholic, there's like 200 Catholic high school students in there. Not to mention what happened later, which was Mark, my current roommate, still in part of the Riot Folk Collective, was playing all these like sex positive, radical queer songs and handing out condoms. Catholic high school. I was like, I have arrived. No, but anyways, point is, safe sex is very important. Roy Bourgeois is like a very, very hardcore pacifist, which is fine. But we're playing these songs, and Roy was telling these young people that it's never okay to use violence. And Mark was like, So he introduced this song, which is one of his songs, and he was like, yeah, I'm Jewish. This is about when Jews rose up against the Nazis. He's like, there's times when you should use violence. And this is one of them. And I was like, well done, Mark. It's not an easy argument to kind of win, but you kind of can't do much about that argument. And it's about the Warsaw Ghetto uprising in Poland in 1942. And it wasn't just Jews that rose up against the Nazis. The weapons that the Jews got, besides the Molotov cocktails that they made, were smuggled into the Warsaw Ghetto by Jews who were inside the Warsaw Ghetto, but with the help of like regular, like, you know, Aryan white Polish workers from the left-wing unions who were gathering weapons, and they were meeting with Jews from the ghetto and they were smuggling the weapons in. I actually have a book on the table out there called 5 Years in the Warsaw Ghetto that was written by one of the guys who was in the Warsaw Ghetto uprising, and he helped organize it. And he was one of the ones that managed to escape through the sewer system, but most of the other people were murdered eventually by the Nazis. They were liberated by the Russians, by the USSR, and then he was imprisoned by the Russians too. So excellent lifetime for that man. But this is called The Ballad of the Uprising of the Rootless Cosmopolitan. By Mark Gunnery, by the way. The smoke is coming from the trains running past the graves of our families. Another winter coats and gray. Christian kids spit on our shoes. And the ruthless cosmopolitan came up through the cracks of the dirty Warsaw sidewalk. He knew all about those tracks. He carried cattle cars that weren't filled with all full Things about most governments in the world is that they don't represent the people that supposedly they represent, right? Yeah. Everyone, this is like a universal understanding in the world, no matter what country you live in or religion you practice or any of this shit. And a very unfortunate thing that people do sometimes is like siding with these horrible dictatorships just because they oppose U.S. policy. This is something that the left has a huge problem with. Of course, the right wing has a huge problem with it, too. Shit, I mean, they fucking loved Bin Laden in the 80s, so, because he was an anti-communist. but you end up with these situations where people can't break this dichotomy between, like, for instance, being opposed to the dictatorship in Syria, right, and supporting people demonstrating against it, and doesn't mean that you support the armed opposition in Syria. Like, there's more than two sides of a conflict, and we have to always remember that, right? And opposing the U.S. war in Afghanistan doesn't mean that you support the fucking Taliban, right? It means that there's two different armed groups, just to mention those two, holding the people of Afghanistan hostage. And you can be opposed to both of them, even though they're fighting. Makes perfect sense. It's like a two assholes at the bar getting a fight. You know, you're like, you know, but if they start fighting other people, it's a problem, right? Or trying to convince you to join them, you know, for college money or something. Dude, I'll help you get through school if you help me beat up this dude. You look at me, buddy. One of these situations is like what's going on right now, if you followed in the news at all about the situation right now in Palestine, where once again, Israel, since we just sang a song about the Jews uprising against the Nazis, which was fucking right on. When Mark Gunnery wrote that song that I just played, he wrote that at the start of the Second Intifada in Palestine, and he specifically wrote it to draw this connection between the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto rising up against the Nazis and Palestinian people rising up against the Israeli occupation. And Mark's Jewish and was saying, as a Jew, I'm not going to bow to occupying forces in that song talking about the Nazis, but he was using that term specifically to make that connection. Because just because injustice has been done to you once doesn't mean that you're immune from doing it to other people. And we know that on a micro level when we see, you know, people who were abused going on to become abusers, right? It doesn't make the abuse justifiable. But it does explain the context of it and help us figure out how to end it. So right now it's like the largest Israeli incursion into the West Bank since the Second Intifada. And because three Israeli settlers were kidnapped, and they don't know who did it yet. No one's claimed responsibility. But so what Israel does is something they specialize, which is called collective punishment, where they're like, oh, someone kidnapped three Israeli settlers, we'll bomb Gaza, invade the West Bank, and start rounding up Palestinian teenagers and putting them in prison and shooting children and stuff like this, which is what they typically do. And that doesn't mean that what Hamas does is right. But this is a song I wrote kind of recently about the Arab world and its history with Western interference in its affairs, and in turn, how that's helped create some of these organizations that we hear about today. Like, you don't have to go very far back in history to see the Taliban's roots in CIA funding against the Soviet Union. It's very clear. Even the right wing admits that this happened. It's not a conspiracy theory. Stuff like the group that's recently taken over most of northern Iraq, this hardcore right-wing Islamic group, they were born in a war against the U.S. in Iraq. They were born because the U.S. went and occupied Iraq and did injustice, and people turned to the people with the weapons. And we know that that's what happens, and we still think that going to war is actually going to like help the situation. So this is about that history. Israel bulldozed thousands of homes in the West Bank. Shot kids for throwing rocks and tanks. Rounded up an entire generation. Denied them human rights. Denied them a nation. And now you play Palestinian rockets. Put your back drum strikes in Yemen and Somalia. It's predictable, but it still pisses me off. We saw U.S. backed troops kidnapping men in Iraq. Labeled anti-Iraqi. Tortured and jailed and accused of treason. And their only crime is questioning the government. Never would have known that Chelsea Manning uncovered it. Lots of stains were left in our path. We can outline the bodies and trace the lines back to the forced march of the Cherokee and Choctaw. Oklahoma echoing the Fallujah. It's a old mentality that dug those graves. Imperial ambitions paving the way. New American centuries post modern manifest destiny. It's how it's been and it's how to be. If you're gonna take a stand, stand next to me. One too many, I told you so. One too many things you weren't supposed to know. The ghosts of T.E. Lawrence and Leopold still clearing land for African inroads. They still resist like it did in the 20s when the British partitioned the land to make money. The cavalry, the pilotless drone, black budget cash bill, warlords and generals, the paid mob in the streets of Tehran. Flights of the CIA bomb, the backroom bribe for the IMF loan. I guess the money spoke louder than the revolution. They showed you cash and you flipped fast. The people kept rising. You shot back. 2011 died in a flash of American money and American gas. It's an old mentality that dug those graves. Imperial ambitions paving the way. You can't ask. Draw that connection there. The United States foreign policy. What the fuck, right? You try to understand it logically and it doesn't make any sense. If you think about it in terms of like coordinating and maintaining like empirical economic control over parts of the world, it starts to make more sense. You're like, oh weird, John McCain is over in Ukraine hanging out with neo-Nazis. What? You know? But it makes perfect sense because we're competing with Russia for oil interests in the Middle East. And we're competing with China for oil interests in the Middle East or for mineral resources in Afghanistan. And all these things that don't seem to make any sense. Like, Like, why did the United States go to war against the Nazis and then immediately after World War II financially support Franco, a fascist who was Hitler's main ally in Southern Europe? Mussolini, Franco, and Hitler, those were the fascist dudes. We supported him, and we supported a fascist dictatorship in Greece that lasted until the 70s. We supported a fascist dictatorship in Portugal that lasted until the 70s. We supported a fascist dictatorship in Spain that lasted until the 70s. Amazing, right? The U.S. overthrew the first democratically elected government of Chile in 1973 on September 11th, 1973, and put this fascist general, Pinochet, in power. And Pinochet was the only foreign head of state to come to Franco's funeral in Spain. Good old Pinochet. Because the U.S. can't, like, go there and cry tears to the fascists. They can only, like, send them tanks and weapons and bullets and all this stuff. Amazingly, the U.S. was all about, you know, temporarily, you know, so we supported the dictatorship in Egypt for 35 years, Mubarak, right? It was overthrown by the people, glorious, it was awesome. The U.S. came out being like, yeah, right on, keep democracy. I was like, oh, nice one, like how you played that one. And then yesterday signed a deal to give $527 million worth of military equipment to the new military dictator in Egypt, General Sisi, who just got elected with an astounding 96% of the vote, considering that in the last election, 51% of the vote went to the Muslim Brotherhood. But, you know, you ever see that Onion article that was like, Saddam Hussein wins 129% of the vote? Exactly, same thing. It's good to tone it down, a little bit below 96. If you're going to fake the election that badly, you should put it somewhere in like the 80s. It's a lot more believable. 96 is, that's a big number. I can't even count that high, for instance. But should have dropped out of high school. This is an anti-fascist sing-along. It's called Our Friends Are Going to Crush the Golden Dawn. Speaking about that dictatorship in Greece, the fascists. They're trying to reassert themselves. This is happening all over Europe right now, especially Eastern Europe and Southeastern Europe. And I was touring there maybe a year and a half ago. I was in Greece, I was in Serbia, Macedonia, and in Poland, and in a lot of these places, fascists are really gaining like serious political power. In Greece, they're the third largest political party in the entire country. There's this group called the Golden Dawn, who like 2 weeks ago, they were in front of the parliament in Syntagma Square in Athens, singing like these old Nazi anthems and stuff. They're the third largest political party in Greece. A lot of my friends there who I met when I was playing shows all around Greece are part of the anti-fascist movement. And they're not like fucking around, you know, it's not just like they put up posters and stuff like that. Like they're working out. You know, I was at this like anarchist squat when they were like doing chin-ups when I got there, and I was like, damn. And then it's like, yeah, they might get fucking cornered by three gigantic fucking Nazi skinheads who know how to fight and stab you, and they have to be ready for it. So, this is a fighting song. Not what's happening. This is a fighting song about fighting these fucking fascist fools. It's a sing-along, so when I say our friends are going to crush the Golden Dawn, you're gonna say,
fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. You don't have to say it in a British accent.
But it helps.
Okay?
In it?
It helps, isn't it? It's an old Woody Guthrie song. Woody Guthrie didn't just write This Land Is Your Land, he also wrote songs like Tear the Fascist Down. So I took that song and I changed it and I made it this song. There's a limited fight across this old world tonight, and our comrades of Greece have made the call. The fascists rise and thank the global crisis of the banks, but our friends are gonna crush the Golden Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Our friends are gonna crush the Golden Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. This is your chance to scream fuck Anna. Sure. Even if you're not an anti-fascist, even if you're a dare.
song that played earlier. It was really lovely.
Here's the clap.
So, since we just sang a song about, like, militant confrontation and street fighting and all this cool stuff, let's talk about violence a little bit, though, for real. There's, like, the other side of it, right? It's a double-edged sword, which I think most swords are double-edged, aren't they? That's a weird term.
No, there's, like, machetes.
Well, double-edged machete, so maybe that should be the term. Right? It's a double-edged machete, violence. It's all fun and games to talk about it and stuff and be like, yeah. That's another thing to experience hardcore violence and find out what it does to your brain and your heart and your nervous system and the people around you and your family and your lover or lovers, depending on how you roll, and all of that. So it's not something that we should just be like parading around glorifying. It's ugly stuff. It's just sometimes it's a part of what needs to be done to prevent even greater violence, in my opinion. I was hanging out in London a few years ago with this anti-fascist skinhead who was facing a couple years in prison because he attacked Nazis when they were marching through a Pakistani part of London. There was a big fascist march, and there was a big anti-fascist march, a much bigger one. And he was like, he like couldn't figure out, because it's hard to figure out, he couldn't figure out how the British government, the same British government, paid his grandfather to fight Nazis in Germany when they were bombing London. And that same government was going to send his grandson to prison for beating up Nazis in London. He was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I know, dude. It's freaking weird, isn't it? So this is a song then that's kind of about that, about the trauma that happens to us when we experience really fucked up things, such as violence, such as losing a friend, and stuff like this, and how that catches up with us later in life often, and how that also dovetails with this culture's the way they nurture young men into thinking what masculinity is and what being a man is about. And often for us, it makes us think that like we're strong on our own without anyone's assistance. Strong people aren't strong on their own. They're strong because like they have people around them that support them and help them out, and that they can share their burden with. That's how human beings like are hardwired for that as a species. We're a collective species. We're not individuals. Good luck. You want to go walk into the woods and survive with nobody. Good luck, really. That's our species, and so it's really detrimental to our hearts and minds when we go forward in life with that mythology. And so this song's about feminism. It's about being a male feminist and trying to become a better dude in my life. Not just so you can be like, hey, that's cool, I'm a feminist. You know, like be in the cool club, but like really like practicing it in your emotional life. Because it's good for you, dudes. It's good for us, like, as people. It makes us much better partners to the people that we date. And it makes us better children and better parents and better people in the world when we're emotionally responsible and respectful. So the song is called Man That I Lived For.
Stronger as I travel through my time, making sense from the emptiness from things I've left behind. Finding out it's better to be present in my life than frozen in the moments when I thought I had it right. You know, the breeze don't always blow in one direction, twists and it turns from what's in its past reaction. The best is accepted or deflected. Well, I'm growing up fast in a world that's growing too. Sometimes keeps my heart afloat. And I know now I can summon them deep inside me. Show me who I've been so I can get to who I can be. Concepts lead to actions when you wrap your hands around the things that you can tackle. So the U.S. started paying them to not fight them, right? Which is fine, and it worked for a couple of years, and it allowed the U.S. to, like, tiptoe out and be like, look, it's winding down, you know? But, unfortunately, the president of Iraq, Maliki, right, which now you hear General Petraeus in the newspaper saying, yeah, Maliki's been a really bad president, we really need, you know, blah, blah, and it's like, dude, you fucking installed him in power, and then he subsequently kept winning elections. Magically, just like General Sisi in Egypt, you know? The guy that the U.S. put in power in Afghanistan won the next two elections. The guy they put into power in Iraq won the next two elections. Really? The U.S. just, like, picked the guy that everyone liked? Or do you think that they faked the election to keep their man in power while they finished up their operation and it's trying to get that money? That's what happened. So anyways, all those people that the U.S. paid to stop fighting them ended up getting really pissed off at the Iraqi government because it's really sectarian, and it's really sectarian against Sunnis, right? And so, a lot of Sunni Muslims in the north of Iraq got really pissed off at the government, and then they ended up supporting these groups that are really fucked up and aren't actually working in their interest, like Al-Qaeda and stuff like this. So, the magic of politics in action. Anyways, we went out about 2:30 in the morning. We go down to the port of Tacoma, Washington.
Washington, and we start blockading these U.S. military vehicles going to the port. And every time a convoy would come down the street, we would run up the street, and we would run into the street, and we would sit down, and we would try to hold there as long as we could, and then the cops would come and beat you from behind and pepper spray people and tase people and all this shit and shoot rubber bullets and all that stuff and move everyone out of the street. And then you would line up like a football game with the police, with the riot police, and then you would just do it again. And the whistle blows, the military's coming again, turn, run up the street faster than the riot cops because they got all the catcher's equipment on. So you can always run a little faster, dart out into the road, sit down again, game on, boom, 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 and then clear off the street, line up. Really kind of bizarre, right? But that happened for 11 days. People kept coming out blocking the equipment. Joined by veterans and soldiers. At one point, a soldier walked off the line and came over to the protesters and was like, can somebody give me a ride back to the base? I'm not going to do this. And he told his commanding officer he wasn't going AWOL, but he wasn't going to help move equipment to the war, and he wasn't going to go. So this song's called See It Through, and it's about that struggle, about trying to do the right thing even when it's fucking scary, even when it's hard. And even though it's kind of talking about the militant protest and all the cool-looking stuff, it's also meant to be understood metaphorically about things like being a teacher, being a parent, helping someone work through an addiction, working through an addiction yourself, raising a younger sibling, working with somebody who's gone through a really hard situation. These things that suck. They're not cool. They fucking suck. And they need to be done. And we need to figure out, as people, as activists, and as a culture, how to, like, accept the shitty stuff as part of the good part. You know? It's part of the same story. So, thank you all. I'll see it through. They got cops in the streets, walking in lines with taser guns. Hip-hop from Baltimore. I got some political folk punk from Sweden. all sorts of shit. I got some folk music about herbal medicine. But we got some homemade t-shirts, and James has a bunch of CDs. I think everyone has CDs out there, so thanks, y'all.